This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we welcome Jesse Agler here to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan, I can only imagine you were ready to bust out with a big-time call last night in the seventh inning and then in the eighth inning and then in the ninth inning. I mean, just right there, so many moments that could have been Jesse last night and just unfortunately never were.
Said, sometimes you're the fuzzy end of the lollipop or something like that. I don't remember what the term is, but yeah, I mean, little PTSD 2023 flashback night, you know, with all those missed opportunities with guys in scoring position. You know, I'm kind of the belief, and we'll get to last year in a second, but generally speaking, that if you're creating the opportunities on a regular basis, you're going to be fine. You know, what you don't want to do is be in a situation where you don't have those chances, and then maybe, you know, you cash it in every once in a while. I would rather create the opportunities with regularity and sort of know that there are going to be games like last night, which are kind of weird. Now, the problem last year, of course, was there came a point when we couldn't say that anymore because it was happening pretty much every time that they weren't cashing in those opportunities. But that has not been the case this year. And so hopefully, you know, we'll look back at last night as kind of a one-off anomaly. I do think there was probably an element of effectively wild for the Rockies pitchers. No one in baseball ever wants to say that that's a thing. But I always have believed that it is, whether you want to talk about the A.J. Burnett no-hitter at Qualcomm or anything
else.
You know, right? Like, sometimes you just – it's like, how am I supposed to swing here because it's all over the place? All right, I'll take my walk. And then eventually, you know, you get in a situation where you're looking for maybe something more than a walk, and the result doesn't go your way. So, you know, I've always kind of believed that that is a thing, although I can't ever seem to get anybody to say that it is.
Effectively wild is awful. I had a bit years ago, Jesse, and I got roasted for it, but it was a bit. It was a joke. I said, that's why adult league is harder than the major leagues. Yeah, their stuff is better in the big leagues, but nobody knows where the plate is. So you go up there and you
it's
make...
Like the first year in Little League that I moved from coach pitch, when I hit probably like 600, to kid pitch, where I was hit by a pitch every other time. There was nothing more frustrating in my playing career. So maybe that's the reason I believe this is a thing, because I'm flashing back to being 8 years old. But
Funny, man.
That's a funny bit, by the way.
It is a funny bit. Yeah. And I like made the case of why. Like, well, first of all, you guys play on much nicer fields. Okay. You get everybody, you get massages pregame. You hit white ball. You actually get batting practice. And every pitcher, sure, they throw hard. Sure, they have exploding sliders. But at least they're around the plate. You know, it was a bit. But the effectively wild guys that you see, you're like, oh, God, this is a nightmare. Guy that throws, you know, in our league, 85 is tough. It's tough. But it's like, I'd rather face that guy.
That's very funny.
You know, something that you hear a lot from Little League all the way probably to adult league baseball is the axiom, hey, when a pitcher is wild, you got to take a pitch or two. And while I do think that applies, and I've gotten some pushback this morning from some tier ones who disagree, I don't think it really applies in Major League Baseball. Even after the walks had loaded the bases, when Manny Machado is coming up to the plate, I'm expecting him to hunt first pitch. What do you think kind of is your thought process there as Manny's stepping to the plate, Jesse?
You guys were just talking about the Arise walk off. That was a first pitch, right? What was Michael Bush's walk off at Wrigley last week? First pitch. I mean, I can go on. You know, I mean, like, yeah. Sometimes you know coming in, like, all right, I'm probably going to get, you know, the first pitch I got here. And especially, I would say, when a guy is wild, all right, I'm locking in on this first pitch. And if it's close, I'm going, because it might be the only one, you know, that I really have a sense of where it is. I don't have a problem with it. Obviously, the result was miserable with the way that the game ended. But from like a philosophical standpoint, I don't think there's any issue with that. You've got a guy, as you said, on the ropes. You know he's trying to get ahead. You know he's trying to throw a strike, because if he puts himself 2-0, he's going to start spinning out there. And you're Manny Machado. You're one of the most talented hitters that's ever walked on planet Earth. So I have no issue at all with that. Obviously, it did not go well. Couldn't have been any easier for the Rockies infield the way that that one worked out. But, yeah, I mean, all those opportunities last night, it was weird. It was different. And certainly at the end of the day, very frustrating.
It was, man. And, you know, you could point to a bunch of different moments in that game. And baseball is a weird sport. You can feel like sometimes, man, we lost that game in the third inning or whatever. What, not last night, but, you know, maybe in the seventh and maybe in the eighth and definitely lost it in the ninth because you ran out of chances. But baseball is that weird. When that pop fly dropped between Tatis and Merrill, I went, man, now that's one you gotta make a play for your pitcher. You got to make a play for your team. Cannot give up runs in that instance, because that's not a team that scores a ton of runs. Giving them free runs is brutal in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, that ended up being the difference in the game, right? I mean, that was the final run that the Rockies got. That was frustrating. There was a lot that was frustrating. But, you know, for me, particularly last night, you can, in a way, ignore everything that happened in the first six innings. Because the Padres had every opportunity they could ever ask for, 7, 8, 9. You know, and so, like, put Randy Vasquez aside, put some of the defensive issues aside, you know, whatever. You had your shot. You know, you survived all of that in a way, right? Because you were in a position, you know, late in the game to do something. Now, your point is certainly valid. You can look back at those things and be like, well, if that didn't happen, they would have been in a different spot later in the game. But, you know, they had their shot. They had their shots, and last night it just didn't happen. And as I said at the beginning, I mean, as long as this doesn't turn into something from last year, and I don't expect it to, you know, where they can never get a hit with runner in scoring position, then you know what? You chalk it up to, as you said, the weirdness of baseball, what I always refer to as the beautiful stupidity of baseball. And last night had a lot of stupidity. There's no doubt. It was from the start a weird game. I turned to Tony and, like, I don't know, after the second inning, and I was like, I'm so off kilter right now. It's like something about the pace and the timing. It just felt weird, and then weird things just kind of continued to happen the entire rest of the night.
Talking to Jesse Agler, and we mentioned it earlier, but pointing out that Jackson Merrill could have maybe gotten that one also ignores the fact that that might have been Jackson Merrill's best game
so good.
As a pro. He was all over the outfield making catches, had the great double play, hit the ball hard, including like a home run that I didn't even know he had that kind of, you know, swing in him.
That was Harper-esque right there, man. It really was. From the left side, the bat flip and everything was pretty legit.
That was something to watch last night, Jesse.
He is very real deal. I mean, look, we've all been watching these games and hopefully listening to them here on 97.3 The Fan. But Jackson Merrill, he's the real deal. And the biggest compliment I can give him is that you can just tell he's never been trying to do too much at any point. He is staying within himself in such a sincere way, which is what we always ask of guys, you know, when they're first coming up, particularly at a young age. Hey, don't press, don't try too hard. But that goes against human nature. And he is just sort of almost like a robot with emotion, if you will. He's a robot while he's approaching things, but then when something happens, he turns into an emotional human being. You saw that last night. He was all fired up and red-faced running around the bases.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that continued into the dugout afterwards. Like, that was a really, really big moment for him and for the team in yesterday's game. But it's like he's able to, like, control it all and bottle it all until it doesn't need to be bottled anymore. And that is a remarkable thing for a 21-year-old who's 40-whatever games into his major league career to try and pull off. You know, there's a reason the Padre people have obsessively talked about his makeup the last couple of years and the kind of guy and the kind of player and the kind of competitor he is. I just couldn't be any more impressed with him. He's hitting 290. He's like the second leading hitter on the team, 291. Excuse me. I don't want to shortchange him. And he's been such a really nice presence at the bottom of the order. I could go on and on and on about what we're seeing out of Jackson Merrill. Look, there's still rookie stuff that's going on. I'm sure there will be slumps, you know, to come and everything like that. But right now, you could not ask any more out of this guy than what you've gotten.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and there's plenty of unsung heroes on this team, and some sung heroes as well. Jerkson Profar, what a tank that was last night as well. And you know, it one of those great ABs off Dakota Hudson, which we really didn't see early in the game, Jesse. I looked up and I think we were in like the sixth, and he had like 65, 70 pitches. And it's hard because, you know, the Padres have been more aggressive this year based on just out of the chute from opening day, and they have had a lot more productive outs and things like that. Man, when they don't execute and Dakota Hudson is shoving it on you, those are the games that's tough to stomach sometimes.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird last night, and I haven't read all the Colorado papers and websites yet. I will later on this morning. But, you know, one of the things that we picked up on probably in like the fourth or fifth inning last night was that Hudson was pitching totally differently yesterday than he had been. He was featuring his curveball in a way that he never does. And obviously the guy has been having like just a tremendous amount of trouble. So obviously it makes some sense, you know, that he might try something
switch
different. But, you know, we saw this guy a couple of weeks ago. Here, I got the numbers. I'm pulling them up off my paper here. You know, he was not doing what he normally does. The curveball coming into last night was his least used pitch. In his most recent start before yesterday, he threw it 14% of the time. Against the Padres a couple weeks ago, he threw it 11% of the time. Last night, he threw it almost 30% of the time.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, the early attack was probably based upon the idea that you were going to see more than sliders,
yeah.
Which ended up not being the case. And so, to his credit, he was landing the curveball. It was working. He could throw it for strikes. And throwing strikes had been his issue all season long. You remember all the walks he issued against the Padres at Coors in that awful day game. So, you know, I'm not doing the tip your cap thing, but he pitched differently and better than he pitched at any other point this season. And that probably, at least for a couple of innings, kept the Padres off balance.
That's so fascinating to me, the chess match that is baseball. And Mike Schilt, you know, probably them telling their team too before, hey, listen, what he's been doing hasn't been working, but you have to kind of stick with what's on paper. This is how he's been trying to get guys out, and for him to completely change it like that, yeah, it may explain away some of the early inning failures.
I think you have to be fair because, you know, the Dodgers can say, well, we homered a bunch off Michael King the first time we faced him. Why are we so bad this time? Doesn't account for the fact that Michael King was much better last Friday. And before we get to the Incorporated, I just wanted to get back to that weekend against the Dodgers since we didn't talk to you specifically that Friday night game. I was there, Jesse. It would, had you seen a better, like a game where two pitchers on both sides were as locked in as that night? I mean, that was pretty incredible.
It's, you know, that's one of the things that makes it feel like playoff baseball. We had that, you know, that walk-off game at Wrigley too, very similar kind of feel. I mean, look, not to sound like an old person or whatever, but like that's baseball at its best to me. is two starting pitchers who are dominating and working deep into the game, because that means that that one run or those two runs you might be able to scratch out, or that one big swing you have that turns into a home run, that is the difference in the game. And look, between the crowd, the size of the crowd, the volume of the crowd, the pitching that we got, the sort of dramatics of it all, to me, that's what makes a regular season game feel like a playoff game. And, you know, we drop that, right, you know, a handful of times every year. Hey, playoff atmosphere here tonight. But it kind of goes to another level when you get something like that. And the one game at Wrigley really felt that way. The middle game, you know, a couple of the Dodger games felt that way. But, like, for me as a fan, there is nothing better than watching two starting pitchers at the absolute top of their game just mowing guys down. Obviously, you know, Tony sometimes disagrees with that, as he was a hitter, and he doesn't like, you know, to talk about how only the pitcher is dominating. But, I mean, it was great baseball. Great baseball. Entertaining baseball with the buzz, the whole thing. I mean, the Padres, just to step back, you know, from the Dodgers series, I think have been a much more watchable team this year than they were the last couple of years. And those early swings that you were bemoaning, that's a big part of it. That's a big part of it. You know, I'm old enough to remember people getting upset about Trent Grisham taking fastballs down the middle. So, you know, I mean, I've enjoyed watching them this year. They've played a very entertaining brand of baseball. Have there been frustrating moments? Of course. But every team has frustrating moments over the course of 162. And, yeah, man, we've been treated to some really, really great baseball as of late.
By the way, those good fast pitch games sometimes make it hard to get an incorporator word in during the nine innings.
Last week, you have to do it in the post game.
All the way to the post game.
That was the game, that's right.
That was the game. Last week.
Poor Hector Neris. Can I publicly apologize to Hector Neris? I apologize.
For calling him,
what was the word?
Zaftig. Hector Neris. Yeah, well, you had to get it in somehow, and now you've got a new word that Woods is going to give you that you've got to get in for tonight's game for the Incorporated.
Yeah, Tier 1 Derek sent this in to my DM, and I almost
didn't believe this
He
one,
didn't
Jesse.
Believe it was a word. I started laughing hysterically. Go ahead, Paulie.
Sprained.
Now, you might think, oh,
like
man.
He sprained his ankle?
That's what I was going to say. Manny Machado sprained his elbow.
Sprained his ankle.
I mean, good luck. Here, the definition is it's a piece of otter's dung.
What?
Otter's dung.
What's so special about the otter's excrement that it gets its own word?
That doesn't make any sense to me. Is there another word for, like, seal dung or dog dung? Isn't it all just dung?
Sprained.
First of all, can somebody from the San Diego Zoo call in and help us understand it?
Confirm this one for sure.
Second of all, do otters, not that I necessarily expect you guys to know this, but do otters build dams the way beavers do? And so perhaps does their dung
they use
get a
it as like
word
a,
because they use it
oh,
yeah, to build
thinking.
Their structure?
Yeah.
Wait, do beavers use their poop to build dams? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I don't know.
This is the Incorporator's a learning segment as well as a challenge.
Yeah,
that's true.
For Jesse Agler. Well, Jesse, good luck. We're out of time. Good luck on Sprint, and we will talk to you next Tuesday.
What a word.
See you later.
Thank you, buddy.
Jesse Agler.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.